Reb Chaim says, a very strange thing happened when I was by the Tzemach Tzedek in Yechidus. I was discussing with the Rebbe, whatever we were discussing, the story doesn't say, probably it was Avodas Hashem, in serving Hashem, even though Reb Chaim was a big businessman, and he might have asked the bracha, as it is with many stories of the big businessmen who are Hasidim. It could be they asked the bracha for their business, but the main topic, the main thing of their yechidus was davening and learning and doing mitzvahs behider. And whatever the yechidus is about, it doesn't say, but as I was leaving, Reb Chaim says, all of a sudden, as right before I went out the door, the Tzemach Tzedek said three words. These are the three words. Ki v'simcha seitzeyu. Those three words, of course, maybe you've heard them in a song. Ki v'simcha seitzeyu v'shalem tuvalon. Right? If you ever had the schus to be by a Farbrengen of the Rebbe when he leave the Farbrengen, we would all sing Ki v'simcha seitzeyu. Those words mean when Ki v'simcha, because, or when in happiness you will go out. Ki v'simcha seitzeyu. You will go out in simcha. And the Tzemach Tzedek says Ki v'simcha seitzeyu. You go out of a problem through simcha. Not only you go out of a room and people sing, or it's a freilich, but out of a problem, you can even go out of a problem through simcha. And Reb Chaim wondered, I wonder why the Tzemach Tzedek is saying that. I was not discussing a problem with him. I didn't seem to have a problem. The Yechidus was not about a problem. And the Tzemach Tzedek is saying, Ki v'simcha seitzeyu. Even from a problem, the way you go out is b'simcha, happy. And Reb Chaim wondered, what does he mean? And also the question, if you have a problem, you can get upset, right? What's a problem? What does a problem mean? A problem means something is wrong. A problem means something could be even terrible. It's a problem. How does a person sometimes feel if there's a problem? Oy vey, it's a problem. Something is going to be good. It's a problem. But the Tzemach Tzedek is saying, how do you go out of a problem? B'simcha. And Rechai wondered, how can you be happy if you have a problem? But he didn't think about it too much because he didn't know what the Tzemach Tzedek meant. And he says to Reb Beryl, all of a sudden when I found out that we had a big problem, we did not have the 20 wagons of seed for Count Kapinski, and we could not go back. And I would have a whole terrible problem when I would show up by the hotel, chas v'shalom, to lose my business and have a knas and have to pay money and have everybody be upset, especially Count Kapinski. I never found myself in such a big problem. And I started to get very nervous. And I started to get afraid and scared and shake. And all of a sudden I remembered the words of the Tzemach Tzedek. How you go out of a problem through simcha. And I thought to myself, how can I be happy now? Everything is terrible. Where is there any happiness? Where is there any simcha? All of a sudden, I try to think. Reb Chaim says, where can I find anything happy here? Everything is terrible. I don't have the seeds. Count Kapinski will be upset. I'm going to lose my business. I'm going to lose my money. Everybody's going to be upset at me. I'll be embarrassed. All of a sudden, the only thing you could think about that was any happiness was the punch. The only thing he could think about that had any thing of happiness was the punch. Because he remembers, whenever the pirate says, drink that punch, oh, do they get happy. They get very in a good mood. And he started thinking, the punch, that's all he could think about. The punch. He decided to make the punch. that Barrow did not know anything more. All he knew was he decided to make the punch. Instead of to be depressed and sad and upset and angry and nervous, he decided he's going to make the punch. He made the punch. He put in a lot of mashke. He didn't think too much about what he was doing, just was putting a lot of mashke. And of course, the poet says, and the big farmers and landowners drank the mashke. They got shikr. They fell asleep. That night was a rainstorm. Did Reb Chaim know there would be a rainstorm? Or did Hashem help? Hashem helped. Reb Chaim did what he had to do. He had to be besimcha. Hashem helped in the way that he had to do. He brought the big storm, and Reb Chaim was saved. Because he listened to his Rebbe, and even in a problem, he found the simcha of the problem. Now the lesson is, whenever things go wrong, and everything is terrible, we have to remember, it's not that everything is terrible. Something is still good. If you connect yourself to that something that's still good and happy, that's the way out of the problem. All right. I see today, Kinalach, a beautiful lunch on the table. French fries and tuna and vegetables, and we have delicious apples, and we have either milk or water. What a nice lunch we have. Tomatoes and all kinds of good stuff. Kinalach, the family in our story was not so lucky like you. There was a tati, a mommy, and five kinalach, and they were very hungry. They did not have money, and they did not have enough food. They were very poor. It finally came one evening. Not only there was no French fries in the house, or tuna fish, or tomatoes, there was not even bread. Can you imagine? No bread to eat, and you're hungry. And the mommy goes to the tati and she says, go to the town and borrow money so we could buy food. The children are hungry. And the tati says, I don't know anybody in the town to go to borrow money. I don't have any relatives there. I don't have any friends there. I don't know how I can get money there. The tati says, what do you want me to do? I should beg in the street? I don't want to go and stick my hand out in the street and beg for money. And the mommy left the room, and she goes into the other room, and the kinalach are sitting by the table. Mommy, what do we have to eat? We're so hungry. Please give us food. And mommy looked everywhere in the kitchen, every cupboard and every drawer. There's no food. I'm sorry. The mommy felt so bad for the kinalach that they're hungry, and the mommy's also hungry. And she goes back to her husband. She says, please go to the town and do something to get money, because there must be something you can do. Just sitting here in the house is not going to help anything. Maybe if you go to the town, something will happen. Maybe you'll find a way to get some money somehow. Hashem will only help if you do something. And the tati says, you're right. I'll go to the town. It's better than staying here. And the tati gets up, and he goes to the town, and he goes out the outside of the town, and as he's going closer to the town, as the tati goes now on the main street of the town, there's a big marketplace, and a lot of people are buying things and selling things, and there's a lot of food there, and there's a lot of different things that the family needs, but he has no money. And he starts to cry, and he starts to daven to Hashem, and he says, Hashem, you take care of the whole world, and you feed everybody in the whole world, and even animals, and even birds, and you take care of everything in the whole world. Don't you have food for my children? Don't you have anything for my family? And he starts to cry, and he sits down by the side of the road and he's crying. A few seconds later, or maybe a half of a minute, all of a sudden he hears a voice, and not just all the voices of the marketplace, but he hears a voice close to him, talking to him, a very nice voice. He could feel it was a very nice person talking to him. And the voice says, "What's wrong? Why are you crying? Maybe I could help you." And he looks up, and he sees a very nice looking man, dressed in very beautiful clothes, who is right next to him, looks very concerned, like he's worried about this man who's crying. And the Tati says, "My family has no food, and I have no money, and I came to the town to do something, but I don't know what to do." And the man said, "I'll tell you what you could do. I'll help you. Let's go to the marketplace, and you will sell me. I'll go with you. You will take me to the marketplace, and you will sell me as your slave. I will make myself your slave. You will sell me to be a slave to somebody else, and you will get money for your family." The Kenilach in those days, it was such a thing as, just like you sell a pineapple, or you sell a goat, or you sell shoes, or you sell clothes, you could even sell a slave, or buy a slave. A slave, yes. And the Tati says to the man, I cannot sell you to be a slave. How could I do that to you? How could I sell you to be a slave? I would never want to do that to you or anybody. And besides, you're dressed up in beautiful clothes. You look like an important person. Look at me, I'm dressed in torn clothes. I look like a slave. Nobody would even believe that you would be my slave. I look like your slave. And the man smiled again and he said, "First of all, I'm not worried about being sold as a slave, because I have a certain skill. And because of my skill, something I do very well, I would not be a slave for very long. And also, we could exchange clothes. I'll dress up in your torn clothes, and you'll dress up in my beautiful clothes, and then I'll look like your slave." And the Tati saw that the man really meant what he said, and he was a very nice man. And the Tati asked, "What is your skill? What is the special thing that you could do that if you were a slave, you don't think you'd be a slave for very long?" And the man said, "I am an expert builder, a master builder. I can build all kinds of things very, very good, very well. Buildings, or rooms, or towers, or all kinds of things I could build very, very good, very well." And Kimelach, they went behind a tree and they changed clothes. They exchanged clothes. The Tati put on the beautiful clothes and the nice man put on the torn clothes. And the nice man says to the Tati, "I'm going to ask of you two things before you sell me to be a slave in the marketplace." And they're talking as they're going over towards the marketplace. He says, "Number one, do not sell me to anyone until I show you who you should sell me to. I will tell you who to go to sell. And number two, when you get the money from me, I'm sure you're going to get a bag of coins, a bag of golden coins, because I will probably be worth a lot for you to sell me as a slave. I'm asking you to give me one of those golden coins that I should have, and you will keep all of the rest. Okay? Those two things." And the Tati says, "Okay, are you sure you really want to do this?" He says, "Definitely. Let's go now to the marketplace." And now they head over to the busy marketplace, and there's people over there buying and selling, and people are calling out, who wants to buy a goat? Or who wants to buy a cow? Or who wants to buy these tomatoes? Or who wants to buy these potatoes? And people are standing over there selling stuff, and people are buying stuff, and it's very crowded, and it's a big crowded street, and there's a few wagons over there going back and forth, there's animals everywhere, and a bunch of noise. It's very noisy, a lot of shouting and yelling and chicken noises and cow noises, turkey noises, goat noises, and all kinds of stuff like that. And the Tati is standing with his slave, ready to start yelling out, who wants to buy a slave? But of course he said, I'm not going to call out for anybody to buy you until the nice man will show who it should be. So he's just standing there. All of a sudden, a few minutes later, a beautiful wagon is coming in the road, in the street of the marketplace. And this beautiful wagon has beautiful horses, and obviously somebody very important is inside to have such a nice wagon. And the nice man that's dressed up in the shmatis says to the tati, okay, as soon as this wagon gets very close, start calling out, who wants to buy a slave? I have a very good slave here. And the wagon now approached closely, and the tati starts calling out, who wants to buy a slave? I have a very, very good slave to sell. Who wants to buy him? And the beautiful wagon with the beautiful horses pulled up to the tati. And a man stuck his head out of the wagon. And this man looked like an important officer dressed up in a very fancy uniform. And inside you could see a lady, it must have been his wife, dressed up in beautiful fancy clothes with beautiful jewelry and big earrings and all kinds of fancy stuff all over the place, like a very important lady, like a princess, that's what she looked like. And the man says, you're selling a slave? Let me see, bring him close. And he looks at the slave. Looks like a good slave to me. Can you do anything special? And the nice man says, well, I am a master builder. I can build things very, very well, and I'm a very, very good builder. Oh, okay. That sounds perfect. Just what we would like to buy. Okay. How much? And they started discussing a price, and it was a very, very good price. And the important-looking man takes out a bag of golden coins and he pays for the slave. He gives the tati the bag of golden coins. And now they open up the back door of the wagon for the slave to go in. And just before he goes in, the tati reaches into the bag of golden coins to take one out to give to the nice man who is just being sold as a slave. And he says, here, quick, before you go into the wagon, take the golden coin. And the nice man says, put it in my hand. He puts the golden coin in his hand, and then the nice man says, look, I want to give it now back to you with a bracha. I want to give you a bracha with this golden coin. You should be a rich man, and you should be healthy, and you should have a lot of nachas, a lot of pleasure from your children. And everything should be good for your family. Take this coin now with my bracha. The nice man gave back the golden coin together with the bracha, and he put it in the hand of the tati, and he climbed up on the wagon and closed the door, and now the wagon goes off, and the tati now has a big bag of golden coins, and he is just so, well, he's very, very happy. And he's kind of sad at the same time. Why do you think he's so happy now? He is so happy. Why do you think this tati is so happy right now? Why?
Because he has money.
He has money. Boy, he needs money and he can buy things for his family. So why is he sad if he's happy? Why?
Because he sold a slave.
Because he sold a man to be a slave. That bothered him. And now the Tati has a bag of gold. And he bought beautiful things for his family. He surprised them. He came home with food. Delicious, good food. Not just beans and onions and old bread. He brought home fishy, and he brought home chicken, and he brought home even chocolates and cookies and candies and cakes for his children that they had not seen in so long. Oh, Tati, this is so wonderful. And he brought home clothes, and he brought home blankets and things they needed. Let's see what happens to the wagon. The wagon is going on the road, and the man in front of the wagon in the uniform of the officer, he says to his wife, I think we did a very good thing to buy this slave. And his wife says, yes, this will be a good present, won't it? And of course the slave is sitting in the back wondering where he's going. Well, the wagon happens to be going to the palace of the king. And the man in the uniform says, this might be your lucky day. He says to the slave, this might be your lucky day, or it might be your unlucky day. I'll tell you why. My wife and I are invited to the king's birthday party. We are going to the king's birthday party today. Today is the king's birthday party, and he invited us, of course, with all of the important people of the kingdom, and big officers, and big rich men, and millionaires, and important people, and big shots. We are going to the king's birthday party, and of course, when you go to the king's birthday party, you bring the king a present. Now, is it easy to give a present to a king, or it's difficult to give a present to a king? What do you think it is? It's easy to find a king a nice present he's going to be happy with, or it's difficult? What do you think?
It's not easy.
Why isn't it easy?
I don't know.
Can anybody tell me why it's probably very not easy to give the king a present that he'll like? Anybody figure it out?
Because it's in a very hard place to find.
It's in a very hard place to find. Well, that might be it. What do you think over here?
You don't know what he has.
What?
You don't know what he has.
You don't know what he has, or you don't know what he doesn't have? It's too loud, I think.
Because maybe he doesn't want it.
Why wouldn't he want it? Why wouldn't he want it? You said very good. Why don't you say again?
Because maybe he has it.
Maybe he has it. A king has everything. A king usually has everything. How can you go and surprise the king and give him something that he doesn't have? It's very difficult. But this officer, this big officer, he says to the slave, I think that the king will be very happy with his present, which is of course going to be you. We are going to give you to the king as a present. Because lately the king has a big problem. Or rather, the queen has a big problem. Or rather, because the queen has a big problem, the king has a big problem, which is both the problem that the queen has and the queen is upset. What is the problem? The king is in the middle of building a brand new palace. Because the queen is tired of the old palace, it's time for a change, to make a new palace. The thing is, you need builders to build a new palace. Right? Now, the builders of the kingdom that the king has tried already, and all their plans and all their things that they've tried to do, the king is very upset with them. Because the queen doesn't like anything that they want to do. The queen does not like their plans. And they haven't even started building the new palace yet, because the queen has not approved the plans. Now, if you are a master builder as you say you are, and we give you to the king to be a present, the king will probably ask you to also try to come up with plans for a new palace. And if so, this is your lucky day, because the king will like you a lot. But of course, if you don't, I don't know if this is going to be your lucky day or not. You might not end up being a builder slave. You might be a different kind of slave. Who knows what you're going to do? But anyway, I think it's worth a try to give you as a present to the king. And the wagon now goes to the palace. And there are many, many wagons that are already by the palace. Beautiful, fancy, schmancy wagons. And people are dressed up and they're going to the birthday party of the king. And the slave is going together with the people that bought him. And they go now into the big room past all the servants that let them in. And they see all the fancy schmancy people with party hats and balloons. And there's all kinds of nosh over there. And the king is sitting on his throne with his party hat over his crown. And people are playing games and people are all kinds of fun things at the king's birthday party. And there's music, of course, with banjos and fluties playing. And everybody's eating and drinking, and there's all kinds of happy stuff going on. And all of a sudden, one of the officers blows a trumpet. Beep, 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 beep. It's present time. The king wants his presents. And everybody makes a line in front of the throne with their presents. And the king is sitting on his throne with a big smile on his face, jumping up and down. He's so excited. Hey, I'm getting my presents, birthday presents. And he has his schlepper standing next to him, ready to schlep away his presents to put in places wherever the king wants it to go, because he's not going to hold everything on his lap. He's got too much stuff to hold on his lap. He needs schleppers to take it to his royal storeroom. Of course, most of the things end up just put away in some kind of a big closet, because the king doesn't need it. He already has it anyway. And one by one, people give the king all kinds of silver and gold things. After a while, the king gets bored because, you know, he has all this stuff anyway. And all of a sudden, this big officer and his wife come up with the slave. Now, maybe they changed his clothes. They don't want to bring him in torn beggar kinds of clothes. They probably dressed them up, you know, a little bit nicer. And they say, King, for your birthday, we give you a slave. And the king says, I have 1,000 slaves. But thank you anyway. Take them away to the slaves. The king looks bored. But they say, no, king, this is not just a regular slave. This might be a very useful slave to you and the queen. And the king says, what do you mean? And they say, we bought the slave, and he says he is a master builder, an expert builder. And all of a sudden the queen is sitting next to the king on her throne, and she gets excited. Oh, have him try to design us a palace. And the king says, what do you mean? All the expert, wonderful builders of our kingdom, all the professional builders have come up with plans, and you don't like their plans. How could a lowly slave they bought in the marketplace come up with better plans than our builders? And the queen says, now, let's try it. It's worth a try. After all, he's your slave. You might as well do something with him. You don't need somebody else to take out the garbage, do you? And the king says, okay, you go into the room over there and you try to design some kind of a palace that we'll be happy with. And Kinalach, after a while, the slave came back out. And he had designed on the paper a palace. And he showed it to the queen and he showed it to the king. And the queen got very excited. Whoa, this is beautiful. I like this. Let's try this. This is better than the other plans. And the king saw that the queen was happy and he says, yeah, that's a nice palace. I think we're going to be happy there. But now, you designed it. Can you also build it? He says, yes. I'm a master builder. Not only I design it, but I could build it. Of course, not by myself. I need workers. And the king says, I will make you in charge
of building the new palace. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I will give you 6 months, a half of a year, and I will let you also be in charge of all the silver and gold and money and all the workers that it needs to be used for this palace. If you build this palace that you showed us on the paper, if you build it for real and finish it in 6 months, I will give you a big bag of gold as a reward and let you go free. You will go free. You will not have to be a slave. But if not, if you cannot do as you say, I'm going to give you the lowliest of jobs of all my 1,000 slaves.